Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There exists a widely held theory regarding the church and the kingdom connected with the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ that asserts a literal 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth, which is to begin, the theory says, upon his return. This theory is called the millennial theory or the future kingdom theory. It contends that the kingdom of God is not yet come into existence, but it is yet in the future. Now, the advocates of this theory agree that Christ came to establish his kingdom, but because he was rejected by the Jews, he postponed that kingdom. He returned to heaven, and he provided a temporary and a substitute measure called the church. And he will succeed in establishing his kingdom the next time that he comes. And even though he failed to do so the first time, in spite of many predictions and promises of God that he would, he came for that purpose, but he failed to carry it out. Jesus, at the time of his return, according to the theory, has the right to be king now, but has not yet taken his place on the throne. Now, that's what the theory says. The conditions of prophecy that call for the existence of the Roman Empire, they say, will be renewed. The Jewish temple is going to be restored in Jerusalem, and those saints who are living at the Lord's return will be taken into a seven-year rapture, and the wicked shall suffer a period of tribulation, and then Jesus will return yet again, and then there shall be a literal, actual, physical, carnal warfare that the theorists called Armageddon. And after the Lord's victory in that battle, he shall begin to reign on his throne in the city of Jerusalem, and that reign shall last for a literal 1,000 years. Now, as stated, this doctrine has many variations to it, but it is held basically as I have stated it among many denominationalists. It was once a prominent issue rising among brethren in the churches of Christ, but was successfully routed by the truth of God's word. Unfortunately, with the growth of biblical ignorance and the advance of digression, we see evidences of compromise toward this vain theory among some even today. Some count the doctrine as nothing more than whether women should wear veils and define it as a gray area topic over which there ought not be any division. Well, quite obviously, the theory makes the kingdom and the church separate institutions. And we're told that we're now living in the church age, but not the kingdom age. Surely no honest person would deny that the theory would be proven false if it can be shown that the kingdom has been established already, if it can be shown that the church and the kingdom are one and the same, if it can be shown that Christ is already reigning as King of Kings, and that the church is neither an afterthought nor a substitute or a temporary measure, the theory must be false. And while the theory contends that the Jews will be miraculously transported back to Palestine and saved, if it can be shown that Jew and Gentile must be saved the same way, the theory must be false. If it can be shown that the establishment of the kingdom of Christ was not contingent upon the Jews accepting him anyway, the theory must be false. If the Bible teaches nothing about a so-called rapture and the so-called tribulation of the theory must be recognized as nothing more than a speculative, fanciful, and anti-biblical imagination by misguided religionists. Friend, in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter discusses the return of Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year reign doctrine is made an impossibility, because when Christ returns, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up, not just laid bare, as the perverted New International Version states in one of its many accommodations of false doctrines. Where is anybody going to set up anything on a non-existent earth? Friend, I want to ask you, was Christ a false prophet? If so, can we trust him? He declared that the kingdom would come in the lifetime of some of those to whom he then spoke, Mark 9 and verse 1. He and John the Baptist had said the kingdom was at hand, and that simply means nearby and soon to be, Mark 1 verses 14 and 15. And this was promised nearly 2,000 years ago. And if Jesus missed it then, could we have confidence that he'll keep his word next time? The New Testament Christians were taught that they were already in the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And how could they have been in something that did not even exist and had not even yet come? This idea that the kingdom was not established and the church is a substitute for a temporary period or age makes the Old Testament prophets as well as the New Testament revelation unreliable, if not outright fraudulent. And while we do have not the space in this one single lesson to destroy every facet of the theory and thereby show its fallacy, let us consider Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the meaning of the image the king saw destroys the doctrine of premillennialism. He saw an image with a head of gold, a breast and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of brass, and legs of iron with feet of a mixture of iron and clay. Daniel said this represented four kingdoms, the first of which was Babylon. This image was ground to pieces by a stone not made with hands, that is, of divine origin, one from God. And that stone grew into a kingdom that surpassed all the previous ones. That stone would come in the days of the fourth of these four kingdoms, Daniel 4 and verse 2 and verse 44. Now following Babylon came the Persian, then the Grecian, and eventually the Roman empires. It was in the days of Rome that Jesus came and the church was established. Friend, it was then that the kingdom was established as Daniel had prophesied it would come to pass. In Daniel 7, 13 and 14, that passage teaches that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, would return to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and be given a kingdom. Well, friend, Jesus did return to heaven after his resurrection, and he was given the kingdom as foretold when the events of Pentecost and the establishment of the church transpired. Really, nothing more needs to be said to remove the theory from the realm of truth. But consider the promise of Jesus to establish the kingdom with power in the lifetime of some of his hearers, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Now that power was identified as the coming of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 and verse 8. That power came, Acts chapter 2, and the prophecies were fulfilled, the church was established, and the conditions for the establishment of the kingdom were met. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3 tells what was to happen in the last days, which Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 defines as the time when God speaks through His Son. Joel also had foretold the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in those last days. Peter quoted Joel on Pentecost and said, "This is that which Joel prophesied." And what was to happen? The mountain of the Lord's house, which is the church, 1 Timothy 3:15, was to begin. Hebrews 12:22 through 28 refers to the mountain of the Lord's house, that it was to begin at Zion, which in verse 28 identifies it as the kingdom, in which verse 23 identifies it as the church. Luke 24:46 through 49 teaches that the message of remission of sins would begin from Jerusalem. And this was stated after his death, his burial, and his resurrection were already accomplished. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem as instructed, and a power came upon them as promised, and all these things began then, which was at the time the establishment of the Lord's house, which was the time of the establishment of his kingdom. Friend, the fact remains, if the kingdom did not come, as had been foretold, God defaulted on His word. Who can believe that? Ephesians 3, 8 through 11 teaches that Paul wrote to enable men to see that which would have been a mystery for ages. But friend, that which had been a mystery is no longer a mystery. It was by the church, Paul said, that the wisdom of God was made manifest. The very existence of the church was and is a demonstration of the wisdom of God and His plan to save mankind. This was, as Paul wrote, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This plan of God's was no afterthought upon the failure of Christ to establish His kingdom. The church is not a substitute measure. The existence of the church has always been in God's plan and purpose. So the theory that degrades the church is necessarily a false one, and one that denominationalists must give answer to God for having propagated. The church is called a kingdom, to emphasize certain features of it, just as it is called a family, or a household, to stress the family relationship of those in the church. It is called a temple, to emphasize the worship features pertaining to it. It is called the body of Christ, to show the unity with Christ, the authority of Christ over it as its head, and the fellowship and the relationship with Christ and among the members of the body. It is called a kingdom, to teach the governmental features of it. Furthermore, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, in Luke chapter 22, 29 and 30, He said He would not partake of it with them again until in the kingdom. Now where? In the kingdom. And yet, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21, we find the Lord's table in the church. And 1 Corinthians 11 commands those to partake of it. Therefore, the church and the kingdom are one and the same, or you have the Apostle Paul giving instructions that violated the teaching of Jesus. And again, I ask, who can believe that? Passages before Acts chapter 2 point to the coming of the kingdom, and passages thereafter point back to the Pentecost and the reality of the existence of the kingdom. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, the kingdom was at hand, soon to be, nearby. In Matthew 6, 9 and 10, Joseph of Arimathea took down the body of Christ from the cross, and he waited for the kingdom. Obviously, it had not come at that point. Is he still waiting for it? In Mark 9, 1, as we have noted, it was to come during the lifetime of those to whom our Lord spoke. And in Matthew 16, Peter and the other apostles in Matthew 18 were to receive the keys of the kingdom. Have they received them yet? Has he ever used them? How can Peter use them now since it has so long been dead? If the Lord could not establish the kingdom because the Jews rejected him, who will have possibly similar power to prevent him from establishing it next time? No, friend, their rejection did not change God's plan. Paul so affirmed in Romans 3 and verse 3. Furthermore, rather than the Jews being miraculously transported back to the land of Palestine, the Jews and the Gentiles shall be saved the same way. Romans 10 and verse 12, Acts 15, 9 through 11. How many times must the theory be proven false before honest people reject the theory and adopt the truth that the church is the kingdom? Acts 28 and verse 3, Paul testified, that is, he bore witness of the kingdom in Rome. In Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he said those in the church had been translated into the kingdom. Well, did it exist? If not, explain how they were in it. Hebrews 1 and verse 8 speaks of the kingdom in the present tense. Hebrews 12, 28, brethren had already received the kingdom. In Revelation 1 and verse 9, John was in the kingdom as a brother to those in the churches that were addressed. Oh, it is true, we're living in the church age. There's no doubt about that. But it is also the kingdom age because the church is the kingdom and the kingdom is the church. As one preacher has said, the church is to the kingdom the same thing an automobile is to a car. They are the same. The doctrine that teaches otherwise is false, and it is demeaning to Christ. If the Jews are saved, they shall be saved the same way as the Gentiles, Acts 15 and verse 9, not some miraculous transportation to Palestine and a miraculous conversion. Why do men wish to pervert the Lord's way and degrade the Lord's church? It's for them to explain why they want to do that. But thanks be to God that the kingdom promised is the church, and that is realized, and we can know it for sure, and, gratefully, we can be members of the church. We can be citizens in the kingdom. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.